The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right on Causeway Boulevard, just east of 75. They are proud presenters of all of Ira's work on JoeBucksFan.com. And of course, 70 plus years of Ed Morse family-owned quality and service across the state of Florida. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We'll hear more about them later. And here's Ira. Happy Thursday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back after the instant classic of Tuesday, Mr. Kaufman. The star of the show is Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I am Steve Isbitz, JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper is here. Your favorite Troika is fired up for another Bucks game that will define oh so much. But first, Sage, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, while you guys are firing things up today, I'm going to tamp it down a little bit. I'll tell you why. Because the whole nation is talking about tone. You got to calm down with the tone. We need less passionate rhetoric in the political world. And this is a political show, so to speak. We're trying to get votes. You know, we're trying to get.
We are.
We're trying to get, clicks.
Trying to get revenue.
Trying to get revenue. Speak for yourself over there. My revenue hasn't changed in 2 years.
That's his problem.
We'll talk about that after the show over there, Isbitz.
Now, that is fake news right there.
I might have gotten carried away in the Tuesday podcast, although we've gotten a lot of good comments about it. You called it fiery. I was raising the decibel level a little bit, Lee. You were getting me going a little bit over this Jameis Winston talk. And by the way, might I mention, when we did that podcast, it wasn't official that Winston was going to be benched for Sunday's game in Charlotte. But I think it was clear from the tone, once again, of what we were talking about that day, Lee, that we thought Fitzpatrick was going to be the choice. I'm certainly not here to second-guess Dirk Cutter on that. I think it was an organizational decision. I think it's the right one. And Lee, as I said on Pro Football Talk the other day, if the Bucs were 1-6, we're not having this conversation. As bad as Winston was, he'd still be the quarterback because, hey, we got to find out about number three. Now you know what it's about? We got to find out about this team. We're 3-4. Lee, one little victory, albeit unlikely, would change the tone of this whole season, and Fitzpatrick has a better chance to win. You can't argue that. And here comes our lovely server as we're speaking right here.
Yeah, but she won't talk on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
No, she's not a Buck fan.
She's a Patriots fan.
Patriots. Front runner. Typical
Tom Brady.
Front runner.
Not
Go ahead, Lee. I said if they're 1-6, we're not having this conversation.
Yeah, you're right.
Have I won you over on that debate?
No. Well, no, I mean, as far as 1-6, yeah, you're right. Winston being there, Fitzpatrick could not be. You know, Dirk Cutter's a straight shooter. I've never, never, never called him a liar. I'm not saying he's lying now, but I don't know how to take what his words are. I don't know if I should take them verbatim. I don't know if there's hidden messages. I don't know what he's saying is meant for the locker room and not the public, which very well could be. I don't know how to take it. Like, for example, when he had a sit-down with Dan Lucas earlier, he all but said Jameis, he just needs to do one thing, and he's a top-shelf quarterback. Well, you don't overcome that by sitting on the bench. I mean, I don't know how to take it. I don't know if the Bucs have fully closed the door on Jameis. I don't know if this is a Bobby Knight move. Bobby Knight had a saying, the best motivator is the bench. Ass meets bench. Bench tells ass, you better get off your ass. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know if what Cutter is saying is fully above board. Well, I'm not calling him a liar. I just don't know how to take what he's saying.
The problem with what Lee's saying in terms of Cutter is, Cutter's been using the same line since 2015. The line hasn't changed. Oh, if he can only get over this turnover problem, he's doing wonderful things. Steve, this ain't 2015 anymore. This guy's got a lot of games under his belt. He didn't give Cutter any choice in the matter about who to play this week. Winston gave Cutter no choice. He didn't play mediocre. He played horrific. And when you play horrific and you better win the next game, your choice is easy.
I disagree with you, Ira. Thoroughly
Which part
disagree.
Do you disagree
now,
with?
I don't have a problem, you know, with you want to play Fitzpatrick, whatever. Okay, I get it. I understand it from a locker room perspective. I think having been in the locker room today, I don't see any evidence that says the guys don't believe Fitzpatrick is the right guy right now, the offensive guys.
But meaning they're behind him right now.
Yeah, they're behind him because they see, hey, well, he's playing better. We want to win. We don't want to, you know. Well, a guy like Adam Humphries, right? Perfect example. He's in a contract year. He's playing very well. If they keep it together and they win, he's going to be back next year. Another regime, I'd be like, we don't need this 5'10 slot
I'm
guy.
I'm still waiting for the part you disagree with.
Okay, here's the part I disagree with. Last year, Dirk Koetter, over and over and over and over again, he's running Doug Martin into the turf. He stinks. And Martin played poorly enough to not get back in the lineup. And he didn't have a problem sticking with him.
Well, first of all, he didn't think he had a great alternative. Who was Peyton Barber last year? They didn't know anything about him.
Well, when he did start, he did well.
Well, he still had a choice. I get what you're saying.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick's already put tape out this year. That's very good.
I understand he's played very well. If you look at Fitzpatrick's Buccaneers numbers in the offense since he got here, they're really, really strong over all his appearances and stuff, and that's part of Cutter's mindset.
Even
but
with that first half against Pittsburgh, you know, and we're not excusing.
Look, even the relief appearances, whatever, Chicago, him not playing well, overall it looks pretty good. But I believe there is a choice, and they've made one. But there was a choice to stick with Jameis. Not every quarterback loses his job because he has a bad game. But, you know, they made the decision. Now they have to lie in
Wait,
it.
But Winston hadn't built up enough street credit, Lee. He hadn't built it up.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're not taking Dan Marino out of the lineup over here over a terrible game.
Well, before Jameis got hurt, he was up there with the best that ever played. Yards.
He was turning the ball over.
Ira, here's a question for you. You're talking built up street cred. What about earlier this season? Fitzpatrick, you know, has the 300-400-yard games. He has a rough outing, a rough half. The whole team does against the Bears, and he's yanked. Jameis had the street cred built up that he doesn't have now?
Well, they lost two games in a row. They wanted to see what Winston could do. He went to Atlanta, and except for the one terrible play call that Todd Monken has made in 2018, which I still can't get over, that stupid lateral play. although, you know, you throw the ball in the end zone, and it's still only a 10% chance to work. I understand that. But the other one had a 1% chance to work. You give yourself a chance.
I see both sides of that one. I love the creativity, but as Steve has said so often already, and I've even said it in different tenses, you got all these weapons and you're taking the ball out of their hands.
Steve, if you're second-guessing Cutter's decision to go with Fitzpatrick, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
I don't second-guess it, but you say there was no choice. There was definitely a choice. That's why a decision had to be made. That's why Cutter didn't say on Sunday, hey, of course I'm going with Fitz. He's the hot hand.
He did that out of habit. He don't want to toss any red meat to the Greg Almonds of the world
there. Well, then you're saying
less than 24 hours later, he was talking about it.
All right, well, out of habit, okay? You just said out of habit. When Fitzpatrick started against Chicago all week long, Cutter, we're not going to tell the Bears who we're starting. Why would
thank
I
you
give him that advantage?
Yes, thank
but
you
this week, all of a sudden, it's a new habit. It's Fitz. We don't care if we tell Carolina who we're starting. Cutter's been all over the place with his habits.
Well, by Monday, he had already consulted all the people that he needed to consult.
That's well. There you go.
Yeah,
he had to talk to the light. Had to talk to the Glazers.
Now, look, I'll be the first to say, if I'm a betting man, I hope I'm wrong here because the implications aren't great. But if I'm a betting man, I think Jameis Winston's going to get his job back in a couple of weeks. That's if I'm a betting man.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong because it probably means they've lost games.
That's it, exactly.
But I think the odds are good that we have not seen the last of Jameis Winston in 2018.
If Fitzpatrick's on a run, I don't think they're going to yank him.
Right.
Because Cutter's already said he's thrown the gauntlet down. It's about wins now.
Well,
and if you want to read into that, that means it's about
but
my
Steve,
job.
But, Steve, if they're 3-6, things change. Things change. Then it might be we got to look at Winston.
Absolutely. And you said on the last podcast, you explained that, and it makes a lot of sense. But also, Jameis is now there for Cutter to throw under the bus. Right.
Sure he has.
If Fitzpatrick plays well and they win some games and, you know, let's say they get to 6-5, he can point to Jameis and say, look, it's not my offense. It's not my coaching. It's Jameis. He's the bad guy. And that's where Jameis finds himself now, is in a tough spot. I want to go to the locker room today, guys. I asked Ali Marpet. I said, hey, Ali, as captain, you know, you and Mike Evans are the new captains. Did Dirk Koetter pull you guys aside as the offensive captains and say, hey, this is why we're going with Fitz and this is the deal? Ali said no. He said Dirk, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I wrote down a paraphrase. Dirk has a lot of people to report to, and he's busy talking to them. And, you know, we understand, you know, we know what to do.
A lot of people.
A lot of people to talk to.
Hello, Brian. How you doing today? Joel, good to see you again. I'm glad you came from California.
It's an interesting issue, Steve. Did Cutter consult any players? Should he have consulted any players?
Did he have to?
My feeling is he probably didn't have to. He probably knew which way. Maybe based on even Sunday night, he knew which way they were leaning. Look, let's see what Fitzpatrick does. Steve, the odds are he's going to have to win a shootout. He's done it already in week one against the guy I've already named as one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. You heard me right, Russo. One of the 10 greatest. Cam Newton's not going to make that list.
Not yet.
You know, the funny thing about Carolina, they do a lot of things well, Lee. They run the ball well. They got a good defense. Newton's having a good season. But when you really look at, you know, you dive deep into the numbers, they don't take a lot of shots downfield, and they don't complete a lot of shots downfield.
Which is surprising, because
I think they got 140-yard completion. The Bucs have 10.
Yeah, it's odd for a lot of reasons. Norv Turner is usually a downfield kind of guy. They certainly have the weapons to
do
that.
I'm not sure they have the downfield speed. I don't know if they have downfield speed
like
Deshaun
Jackson. Newton's got the arm to do it, no question about it.
No question about it. Now, look, that doesn't make the assignment for Buck defenders any easier. It's a physical offensive line. They're second in the league in running the ball. No Quan Alexander. Joe Mixon, in my estimation, looked like Barry Sanders in the first half of the Cincinnati game until they had what Duffner called better run fits. Well, why didn't you have better run fits in the first half? You know, did you have to make the adjustment? Now, I asked Brooks about it. Brooks said they tackled a lot better. He didn't mention run fits. He said they tackled a lot
better.
Well,
you know, I don't know how much you can expect from the defense because it's woeful. They've got injuries. It's woeful to begin with. Then you throw on, in fact, Quan's hurt and there's other injuries. McCoy. And then Duffner takes over midstream. So, I don't know. There's a whole lot you could do, but I can see a better defense. Now, I'm not saying a good defense, but it's better with Duffner with Mike Smith out of the way.
All right, Sage, I have some good news. And before we get to that, I want to remind everybody your podcast is available on Google Play, where you still reign in the top 50, all genres, nationwide. Amazing. Podbean, iTunes, you can subscribe and get a free alert when the podcast posts. We appreciate all the listeners. And, of course, your show, Tampa 2, with Derek Brooks, presented by the Identity Tampa Bay, and shown on our website Thursday and Fridays.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, whenever it goes, twice a week. Fantastic. It keeps getting better and better. And I know Brooks has a lot of juice to bring this week about the Jameis situation. So we're excited about that. And of course, every new vehicle at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon and Edmore's Cadillac Tampa comes with their price protection promise. That means they promise their new car price is their lowest. Absolutely their lowest. It's fantastic. And new vehicles come with complimentary maintenance, lube, oil, and filter changes, tire rotation, air filter replacement, in-cabin air filter, 15-point inspection for years. All the details are at the dealership. There's a nice banner at joebucksfan.com for each dealership. You can click on there and get right to it. But the website's edmorescadillactampa.com, and they are just west of 275 on Fletcher, and edmorescadillacbrandon.com. They're on Causeway Boulevard, just east of 75. Those are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships. That's it. They are proud supporters of the podcast and all of Ira's work, and we've been telling you about them for years, and I've purchased vehicles there. My family has. And, of course, that means their selection of pre-owned is fantastic. I can vouch for that. Bought my Ford there. My daughter bought her Saturn there. So, and there have been more purchases by my family. So, Edmore's Cadillac, Brandon. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. They are our family, Ira's family. He's been at both dealerships, as you know. You've heard from general manager of Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Brian Danahy, on this podcast. We will hear from them again. All the great new November offers are coming right down the line. Get to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. They'll be out any moment. All right, Sage, so great to hear about Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. You got the black gear on. You're not in mourning yet. We'll do our predictions later, of course, on this podcast.
You said you got some good news, Steve.
Yeah, I've got good news because Lee made me think of it. We're recording this Wednesday. I was out of practice today. Gerald McCoy was on the practice field. And not only was he on the practice field, but you know how the guys line up stretching, you know, doing their thing. Well, the team was lined up. They were just about to get into their sort of official stretching. And out comes McCoy jogging. They're cheering him. He got the cheers from the team coming back to practice.
Whoa.
So clearly he's probably ready to go. And Vinnie Curry told me in the locker room, we had got the story up first on Joe Bucks Fan. Vinnie Curry will play on Sunday.
Steve, I'm glad you're mentioning McCoy and Curry specifically. Lee, tell me if I'm off base, because I know Isbitz doesn't need any prompting to tell me that I'm crazy. I'm doing a call-out, not a shout-out. I'm doing a call-out, Lee.
I thought you were over that age. You didn't have to make the booty call.
I'm doing a call-out to JPP's peers on the defensive line.
Peers.
And it's very simple, and I said I was going to tamp down the podcast. Well, I lied. Give this guy some help. JPP's playing his butt off.
Yeah, he is.
And Steve, you're the one who mentioned this. I had to double check it because I thought you were crazy. We know he had both sacks. But Isbitt sent me a message the other day that he had both quarterback hits. First of all, two quarterback hits is ridiculous.
That's sad.
That's sad. And he had both of them. So I'm calling out these guys. Nasib, that means you. Golston, Spence, with your six snaps. I understand that. And now McCoy and Curry on Sunday. Give this guy a little bit of help.
Can I quote our esteemed president in the White House?
What happened to my tamp down? What happened to the tamp down? Steve, you see how you get me excited?
Can I quote our esteemed president?
Of course.
Sad.
Sad. Yeah. Sad with an exclamation mark. Yeah. Steve, am I wrong?
Of course you're not wrong.
Give the man a little help.
They got to step up. Curry told me that the ankle issue is what he had. So it was not a high ankle serious sprain. But he hadn't missed a game since 2013. So this was very new territory for him. He said his phone was getting blown up by his friends saying, "What the? You missed a game? Oh, my God. Are you all right?" Wow. Whatever. But he's back. He's fired up. And he was on the practice field. He said he's playing.
And so, by the way, Steve, this is a different challenge. Andy Dalton, you want to flush him out of the pocket. Cam Newton, in my opinion, just like a Pat Mahomes, keep him in the pocket. When he gets out, he's especially
dangerous. They struggle with Newton every year, and most teams do.
Easier said than done.
But here's the key to those guys coming back. The Panthers, Ira, averaged 5.1 yards a carry this season.
Wow.
5.1.
Now Newton's part of that.
Newton's part of that. And Newton himself is averaging 5 yards a carry. So the other guys are just as good. McCaffrey's
running a hell of a lot better than he did last year.
They really have to man up, and it's the right game for McCoy and Curry to come back. And also to get Will Golston out of the defensive tackle position where he's undersized and just gets pushed around.
And a little more from Bo Allen.
Rotate a little bit. Yeah, it should help. Hopefully these guys are really healthy, but we don't know for sure. Sage, I got to go back to the Jameis thing because a lot of fans are fired up on that. I got to ask you this. You know how this league works with agents and money, and it's a lot of this concern about Jameis's money. You think he wants to stay in Tampa? The fans are against him. I'd say now it's probably 50-60% are in get rid of Jameis mode. And he knows that ownership didn't back him up and decided to, agree to playing Fitzpatrick this week. He's had a lot of history here. There's a lot of negativity swirling around his baggage where he wouldn't have that somewhere else. You think he wants to stay?
You know, Lee, I'm going to take the other side of this coin. And I'm going to say that I don't think the Bucs have done Jameis Winston wrong in any way. In any way. I believe they fully supported him through the investigation. They backed him up during the suspension. They gave him his job back, in Atlanta when it was a pivotal game with a 2-2 record. I got a hard time finding fault with this organization. From a Jameis Winston standpoint, I think his issues are self-inflicted. Lee, where am I wrong?
Well, it was the interceptions.
No, I'm talking about what he did with the Uber and the interceptions. How have the Bucs done Jameis Winston wrong?
Well, he hasn't been benched because of the Uber.
No. But I'm saying, after a performance like that, you're benched. You're benched.
Well, could it be? And we don't know because Cutter's being evasive. Could it be as simple as, and we all watched Hard Knocks, now Cutter jumped on his case by interceptions, that Cutter's finally got fed up with it.
I think so.
And he may have, he was asked, Cutter was asked, what did you tell Jameis? And he said, I'm keeping that private. Do you think he just told Jameis, I've said it enough?
I think Lee's exactly right, Steve. This did not happen in a vacuum. The week before, he was responsible for 3 of the 4 giveaways. That's a fact. And Sunday in particular, even Cutter couldn't say, Mike Evans ran the wrong route. the wind knocked the ball down, the protection. Did you hear any of that? No. That's because Cutter would have had no credibility if he says that.
Well, I got to say this. With the possible exception of Pat Donovan and maybe Jameis' dad, too, no one's been a bigger defender of Jameis. I can't say, oh, the receiver ran a wrong route or this. Or that happens to every quarterback. You can't tell me.
But it didn't happen Sunday. It didn't even happen.
Well, what I'm saying is, I'll be the first one to say, so-and-so, you know, if Jameis only had one pick and that one pick was because the receiver ran a wrong route, okay, fine. You have four, don't start nitpicking, oh, this guy ran a wrong route or this guy didn't see. That happens to every quarterback in every game at some point. So I, as much as I defend Jameis, I got to stop there and start calling other people out. Other teams aren't throwing four picks in a game and half the media are pointing fingers
Steve,
at someone else.
I get your point. Maybe Winston wants a fresh start with somebody
else.
It's not
my point. You know, I ask you a question. You tell me I'm making a point.
All right, I made my point. I made my point. Now you give your point. If you were Winston, would you want out?
You think he wants out or not?
I said he's got no reason to want out.
All right, so you think he wants to stay?
I think he wants to stay All and right. finish the job that he was drafted for.
There you go, Sage. There
finish
you go.
Finish the job. Finish the job.
Lee, do you think he wants out?
I'll say no only for this reason. I don't know if Jameis is, if you're fully in playing football for the money, if that is your primary reason, not from your heart but from your head, probably. However, Jameis would have made more money had he stayed with baseball. But he's following his passion. And I think Jameis is the kind of guy who wants to finish, sort of what you said, finish what he started. He's got unfinished business here. So I'm going to say no, only for that reason. If he was in it strictly for, or specifically for the money, I won't say strictly, but if money was that much of a priority, he would have been pitching. He would have been playing baseball. Or at least he wouldn't have signed a contract with the Bucks that forbade him from playing baseball.
But Steve, it would be very interesting if he's allowed to test the free agent market next March and see how many teams are interested and what kind of deal he would be able to get. It'd be interesting.
Well, it's probably not going to happen, but you know, we'll see.
There's a lot of teams out there that need a quarterback.
Ira, come on. Realistic here. If the Bucks don't want him after this year, they'll find a way to trade him to somebody who will be happy to take him for, even if it's a two fourth-round picks. He won't hit they won't cut him because they'll find a suitor for him. But, you know, look, we're hoping for the best for the team. But the crazy thing is, and I know this drives Lee nuts, you hope for the best, which means Fitzpatrick is successful, which means you're trying to win a Super Bowl with this guy next year at 37 years old. It's a mess.
If he resigns.
Lee, yeah. Yeah, right, if he resigns.
And he's got the Bucks over a barrel.
I can't see starting week one with Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2019. He's my guy. I can't see it.
I started writing this the other night, and I actually deleted it from my story. I seem to recall, and I didn't do any research. It was like midnight, this is another story. I seem to recall Fitzpatrick was debating whether to retire or not.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he's done that the last couple of years, and he's said that, you know, his stock answer is my kids wanted me to keep playing, and so I'm doing it.
He's also been convinced that he could not win a starting job in the NFL.
Right.
That's just it. Do you want to sign a guy for next year, number one, that has been seriously contemplating retirement? Because if his kids say don't play, he may not play. Number two, do you really want to put all your eggs in his basket when he admits, hey, man, I'm not a starter in this league?
He is what he is, a very good backup.
Well, look, things change. NFL's fluid. If he has a great finish, he knows he's sitting on $20 million for next year because somebody will pay him as the quarterback of the number one offense of the NFL, and I bet you his kids and probably his wife will chime in for the extra $20
million. But he could go to another team with not nearly as good a weapon.
Here we go.
I know.
Can I play fantasy land here? Not so much fantasy land, but just throw stuff up against the wall? Todd Monken, if this keeps up, Todd Monken's going to be a serious commodity for a head coaching job.
He's made a lot of strides in that regard.
Yeah, he will be absolutely a hot commodity.
Let's say he gets a job in Arizona, hypothetically. And I know Rosen's a rookie, but you already got Larry Fitzgerald. You got talent there. Would you call up Fitz, like, hey, come to Arizona with me?
No, you call him up as a backup, but Rosen's going to be the guy going forward.
Wanted to bring this up, Sage. The Panthers, who we play Sunday, of course, 9 interceptions this year. The Bucs still have 1. They are among the best in the league at it picking off the football. Maybe that had a piece of Dirk Cutter's mind saying, you know, Panthers are probably going to get a pick.
There's a ball hawking defense.
You know, if they get one on Jameis, he might fall apart and start crying. Fitzpatrick's not going to care. I don't know. I wanted to let everybody know next week, since it's after the midway point of the season, we are going to dive in next week to Jason Light. And I think it's fair after the midway point, look at this team halfway through, maybe assess Jason Light, talk about maybe whether he's the guy to take the Bucs to the next level, all that
maybe
stuff.
Maybe he wants to be on the podcast to throw his
You know what?
He's got an open invitation.
I'll ask him and say, we're going to be talking about you, so do you want us talking about you or you want you talking about you? And we'll see what he says.
Fair enough, Steven.
So how about that? Sage, Mark Duffner, the locker room, anything you gleaned today that you want to share?
Well, other than Duffner called me Sage from the podium. Thank you, Mark. Then he tried to apologize. I said, no apology necessary. No apology required. Now, the press room did laugh when he did use the word Sage. But you know what? It shows that he's reading the columns. He's reading the site. He's listening to the podcast. That's all good. Boy, Lee, what a big game Sunday. It affects so many things, and it probably is going to have a big effect on whether Winston gets back in the lineup sooner rather than later or at all. It's such a convoluted situation, Lee. No wonder you were going down U.S. 19 today, banging your fist against the window.
The tollway, the tollway. Yeah.
You coughed up $1.80? That's outstanding.
Yeah, it's called convenience.
Beautiful.
Otherwise, it takes an hour and a half to come down Highway 41.
Does that mean you're going to pick up my tab today, Illy?
Yeah, I picked it up last week, so I'll do it the same. I'll help you out. They had a deal on wings today, so sure.
I got it, Lee. I actually ordered the grouper because I told them in advance I was going to pay. So that's how
they
Sage
operates. They put a little crab meat on top of the grouper. I didn't tell you that.
That's how he operates.
Thank you, Stevie.
So, Duffner, give you any nugget that you liked or nothing. I don't want you to force it here. If you got nothing, you got nothing.
Well, you know, he admitted that they didn't play the run well at all against Cincinnati.
Thanks, Mark.
And they're facing a very good running team Sunday, which is the exact reason why you're going to hear my prediction later in this podcast. And you're not going to like it.
Duffner gave me something, Ira.
All right, what do you got?
Hey, it's an aside. It's not Bucks related.
What do you got?
He loves to talk about Woody Hayes because that's where he got his first job.
That's his guy.
Just to give people an idea what a giant
You
figure.
Didn't ask him if he went to that funeral with Nixon, did
well,
you?
To give the people an idea what a giant was, of a giant Woody Hayes was, as far as a public figure back in his day. Just the other day, last week I was, rabbit hole on YouTube, and by accident I saw the funeral for Woody Hayes, and the keynote speaker who gave the eulogy at Woody Hayes' funeral was Richard Nixon. You know, Steve said, you got to ask Duffner about that. Well, Duffner walked through the locker room, which doesn't happen. Rarely do coaches go in the locker room. So I said, hey, Mark, and I pulled him aside. And I said, were you at Woody Hayes' funeral? I said, yeah. I said, Nixon spoke there, right? And his jaw dropped. He goes, he was awesome. I said, what do you mean? He goes, no notes. And I know from watching the video, it was like 12 minutes. And he's like, no notes. The guy had no notes and spoke beautifully. And I'm like, wow, you know.
How are you going to top that, a Richard Nixon reference over there, Steve?
Well, I'll give the Richard Nixon line in the eulogy. He said something about one of the last times he saw Woody Hayes, and Nixon says, of course, I wanted to talk football, but you know Woody, he wanted to talk foreign policy.
And there you go.
Ira, the trade deadline came and went on Tuesday. Bucks do nothing. Other teams did some stuff around the league. I know the common thought is the Glazers probably told Light, don't you dare trade a draft pick because we don't know what's happening next year. What do you believe? What should fans know about the trade?
I don't believe that scenario is true. I have to hope that Light was making phone calls trying to improve a 3-4 football team. And I'm not going to fault Light if he thought that the price was too high for a Landon Collins or a Janoris Jenkins. Maybe they're asking for a first-round pick. You know, that's going to make you think twice. Knowing Jason Light the way I do, I think he was out there. I think he was active. He was exploring. And in the end, he didn't think a deal made sense. Shame on him if he shut his phone down and didn't initiate any calls and didn't take any. I'd be surprised and I'd be very disappointed.
Like you, I believe he was working the phones. I don't know how to take, basically Cutter has said, in so many words, we're going all in this year. Yeah, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay. And a garbage defense. Right. Anyway, he could be right. But if they really were going all in, number one, wouldn't you you know, even if the price was not right, you'd make a trade to help that garbage defense. Number two, does this suggest that Light feels secure about returning next year? Now, he has under contract through next year. Do you think, Ira, that this is a signal Light feels he's secure? Because otherwise, he could have easily panicked and gave up a second-round pick for Jenkins or a second-round pick for Landon Collins, or he could have really, you know, done a crazy trade because he knows this is it. He may not be back, so get the players in and let's worry about later.
Well,
later.
I would like to think that he evaluated any potential deals and asked himself whether this is in the interest of the organization or not. Knowing Light, I think that's the way he looked. They didn't do anything. It was a little disappointing. I thought they needed to improve. But if the deal doesn't make sense, Lee, you let it walk.
The deal has to make sense. So I know fans go crazy, but after there was no deal, I was very pleased to see that Gerald McCoy and Vinnie Curry are back this week. Because if there was no deal and they weren't coming back, I would have been like, what the hell are you doing? You needed some sort of body on the defensive line.
At least they didn't do a sell-off. At least they didn't sell off.
And so, you know, Light was probably thinking, we get these guys back and there's nothing else out there, I'll be okay. All right, Sage, Lee, it is that time of the podcast where we make our predictions for Sunday's game. Right now, of course, the standings, Ira and I are at 4-3, Lee's 3-4. It's very tight. We got 9 games to go, and I don't know what we win if we win, but we just win title of winner. So we always have fun with this, and it's good to know.
I'm going to let you go first today, Steve.
You want me to go first?
I'm going to let you go first.
Lee, you
want
to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first because I have kind of a funny story.
Lee's got a story, and he's going first.
I pride myself as being a loner to a degree.
Pridefully so.
Before I started appearing on your podcast, Ira, it was not unusual that I, especially during the offseason, I could go for over a month, and the only person I'd ever talk to would be my neighbor. That would be it. I kind of pride myself with that. But psychologists always say, you don't socialize, you go punch, go nuts. And I started to think about that, and I'm like, you know, just psychobabble. Well,
what about your pet rat? You don't talk to the rat?
No, I don't have a pet rat. Right. I don't even have one of my neighbors one time asked what kind of pets I have, and I said, nope, nope, nope. She goes, not even a fish, not even a bird.
Not even
nope.
A fish, all right.
So anyway, when I got up this morning, I'm still hacked off about the quarterback situation. Still hacked off. As I speak right now, I'm hacked off. So I get in my truck. It's about a 40-minute drive. The longer that truck drive got, the more and more steamed I got. It got to a point where I was about ready to punch my windshield, and I said to myself, I am so PO'd at this entire organization, I don't give a damn if they win or not the rest of the season. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to do when these guys ask me about a prediction? I'm going to say, the hell with it. I ain't predicting it because I don't give a damn anymore.
Whoa. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. And part of the sign-up sheet says you must predict a Bucks game.
Well, when I got the one Buck Palace, I started talking to people. Catherine Smith was talking to me about how you heckled Bruce Springsteen one time in Orlando, I guess.
Jenna Lane walked by.
I got to talking to Kevin O'Donnell. And next thing I know, I'm over it. Maybe these shrinks are on to something that you got to socialize a little bit, otherwise you go completely bananas.
So now you're ready to make a pick.
I'm ready to make a pick.
All right, Lee.
After I make a pick, I might have to go see a psychiatrist.
Let it rip, baby.
41 Bucks, 33 Panthers.
Wow. That ain't no way to make up ground on Messrs. Isbitz and Kaufman, Lee. You want me to go, Steve, or you want to go? What do you think?
Lee's he's not on the Fitz bandwagon, but he's feeling some sort of something. Some sort of energy from the Bucks. Who knows where it's going to come from? Maybe 3 interceptions by Justin Evans. You never know. All right. Wow. That is a that's a wild one there, right there, Sage.
I'll follow that up.
I'll go next. You want to go?
I'll go.
All right, go ahead.
I'll let you bet third. You can be Tony Gwynn. I'll be a table setter.
What a beautiful segue that is.
There
Tony
you go.
Gwynn.
Tony
one of my
Gwynn.
Favorite hitters of all time.
I'd love to pick the Bucks. Can't do it. Can't do it. Spent the day with Derek Brooks earlier this week. Watched a lot of the Panthers-Ravens game. Quote from Brooks.
Name dropper.
They manhandled Baltimore. And Baltimore's not known as being a pansy finesse team. They're not. They got a heck of a defense. Manhandled by the Panthers. So in terms of sheer physicality, which was my question to Mark Duffner this week, how are you going to match their physicality? I don't think they can. Panthers 34. Bucks 20. Bucks 4-3-5 at the midpoint, Steven.
All right, Sage. I watched the whole Panthers-Ravens game because, as you know, I don't watch a lot of college football. My Saturday time is primarily spent watching on Game Pass condensed games, and that's what I like to do. So the Panthers, man, they're a complete football team. The Bucs are not a complete football team. The Panthers are a complete team, and they've scored 30 points in most games this year. And the Ravens were the number one defense going into that game, and they're running, pushing them around. And, you know, Norv Turner has to be drooling at the thought of the Bucs defense. And Greg Olsen now is back healthy. He's had two good games in a row. It's not good. They have a kicker. We don't have a kicker, in my opinion.
They're kind of a run-first team, Steve. They're a little bit different, Carolina.
Yeah, and of course, Cam Newton's a strange guy because he runs. He's different and all the stuff that he puts out there. So the division games are always tight. The Buccaneers can score points with the best of them, but I still think we're looking at playing a better defense is going to show up here. So I'm going 34 Panthers, 23 Bucks, and I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I just think that it's going to. They're a better team, and that's it.
The Bucks played well in Charlotte last year, Lee, right?
Went for Swaggy Baker, they would have won.
There you go.
Couple of turnovers and Swaggy Baker, and away they went.
I don't think the Bucks can match the physicality, Lee. I just don't think they can do it.
They probably can't.
I think they're going to get pushed around a little bit on Sunday.
Panthers have a loss, don't they?
They got two losses. They have two losses.
Yeah, Panthers are 5-2. They should have beaten Washington. They had two drops, I think, both in the end zone.
Yeah, well, they're 5-2, Washington.
Yeah, anyway, good football team, complete team. We'll see.
By the way, how does Catanzaro still have a job? Why is he still on this roster? Let me throw that out there for 45
seconds. That's how you're going to end this podcast?
You're going to talk to Cutter in a couple of minutes. Why don't you ask him rather than Nisbets?
You know what? I just throw that out, and I'll let Buck fans weigh in on that.
Well, you know what? We'll hit it. Catanzaro, he's 10 of 12 on field goals. Martin Gramatica was on local radio talking about that, saying, look, the guy's 10 of 12. We can't forget about that. That's pretty good in the NFL. But the extra points was funny. Gramatica was saying, in the old days, if you had a crappy warm-up, you went out and you prayed for an opening touchdown.
Wow.
Because then you'd get a chance to run out and have an extra point. And he said the old extra point, even if you hit it bad, it went through. So you could get your confidence back.
Get your bearings.
And
bet
your bearings and focus and drill it. And if he kicked it right, great. If not, it still went through and everything was good. But now it's not like that anymore. And he sees Catanzaro struggling on his opening kick. He thinks it could be a warm-up issue or just a mental issue with the first kick of the game. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't get it. You miss four extra points. How many more do we need to see, guys? Five, six, seven?
Yeah.
It's cost him games. Probably cost Jameis Winston his job in reality. Tough stuff.
You know, our next podcast, Lee, which will be next week, we're either going to be talking about a 4-4 team coming off a second road win in the division. Impressive. Or a 3-5 team that's lost five out of its last six games. So, Lee, Steve likes to talk about a crossroads game, a swing game, a tipping point.
This is it.
This is it. This is all of it.
I don't like to talk about that. I like to talk about a good football team. But 2 weeks in a row, we're talking crossroads. Last week, you're singing the Allman Brothers. And, you know, this week.
Oh, Cream. Cream.
Cream. Here cream, we are. Yeah, here we are again. So, Sage, how do you want to send the good fans of Tampa Bay out? You just predicted the Bucs would lose. Send this podcast into the ether.
Well, I'm going to say this. Season on the line. Butts on the line. If they got to win 41-38, so be it, Lee. So be it. That's going to be the way it's done. They did it week one with Mr. Fitzpatrick. You can do it. It's difficult, but you can do it. Don't think you're going to win this game 16-13, Lee. Not going to happen. Start fast and end faster.